Hello and welcome to this episode of the Pretty Girls Club. So this is our first ever live podcast episode and I'm your host, Pretty Please. And today we have partnered with Lelo to have a very special guest, Dr. Jess. And we're going to be celebrating World Sexual Health Day, which is today, the 6th of September. By the time you watch this video, it will not be 6th of September, but that's okay. We celebrated it. So thank you all. We actually have a live studio audience. We have a whole bunch of people. So feel free to make noise if you want to. We have a live audience with us, so this is quite an exciting episode. So thank you, Lelo, for bringing us all here together today. And let me first up introduce our very special guest. So Dr. Jess is the owner and medical director of InSync Medical, an inclusive clinic for intimate sexual health care for all cis and transgender individuals of all ages. Dr. Jess started InSync to bring a holistic approach to sexual health care, encompassing the biological, psychological, social, and cultural aspects of sexual health to her practice. So I think Dr. Jess is the perfect guest for this episode because she is an advocate of sex positivity, self-pleasure, and normalizing the conversation around sexual health. So there's no better way to normalize a conversation rather than to have a whole event, have a whole podcast episode. So we are talking about it in front of a lot of people right now. So this conversation should be normalized. So thank you so much, Dr. Jess, for being here.
No worries. Happy to be here. I had nothing else to do on a Wednesday afternoon.
So why not be on the Pretty Girls Club? Okay, so we are live here today at Crane, and the space is very beautiful, very nice, but it's made extra special with the very exciting toys that you see in front of us from Lelo. So earlier on, I briefly mentioned that we're here in partnership with Lelo. So let me tell you guys what Lelo does, okay? So other than the very beautiful sex toys that you see here, Lelo has also long established itself as the luxury pleasure brand, so leading the market in design, innovation, technology, and reputation. Lelo is not just a sex toy brand, it is a self-care movement aimed at those who know that satisfaction transcends gender, sexual orientation, race, and age. So Lelo's mission is to radically change the way we perceive and talk about pleasure and bring the practice of great sex to the mainstream by normalizing the beauty of loving thyself and all that entails. So my favorite thing about Lelo is the fact that it is tried and tested and Pretty Please approved, but that's a bit too much info from the start. Thanks to Lelo and with Dr. Jess, we actually want to talk a bit more about pleasure mapping and the concept of, like, what is pleasure mapping even? I don't know if you guys have heard of this term, but actually this is the first time I've heard of pleasure mapping, but I guess I kind of understand the concept of it, and it was something that people naturally already practice, but I didn't know there was a term for it. So what is pleasure mapping?
Well, in our field of work, we don't exactly call it pleasure mapping. We actually call it body mapping. So it's to break it down to real primitive sensation. You know how we always have this habit of judging a touch that we receive. We're going, you know, does it feel good? Does it feel bad? Is it pleasurable for me, or do I just downright hate it? So when you boil it down to body mapping, what you're trying to do is that you're using the largest organ of your body, which is practically your skin, and you're trying to map out areas of your body which, or on which you might have sensations that you might consider positive, or you might recognize sensations that do nada for you, or sensations that are outrightly negative. So that essentially is body mapping. And when you take time to do a body mapping exercise, what you're trying to elicit from that exercise are points on your skin, head all the way down to your toes, right through your crevices as well, where you might find certain sensations that could potentially work for you.
So are those your erogenous zones?
No. Oh.
So what's the difference?
They may
then
not necessarily be your erogenous zone. So when we're thinking erogenous zones, immediately certain areas of the body comes to mind, right? We think nipples, we think genitals, we think inner thighs, we think earlobes, you know, all these very classic, what we call primary erogenous zones, because these zones of your body have far more nerves than any other part of your body. But there's something else called the secondary erogenous zones. These are learned or conditioned zones of your body. So you don't know they exist until you map them out, or until you're conditioned to react to touches to that part of the body. You know, almost like Pavlovian conditioning. I don't know whether any of you guys have heard about it. You know, when they ring the bell and they give the dog the food. So first you give the dog the food, it's not conditioned. And then every time you give the dog the food, you ring the bell. And then the next time when you ring the bell, the dog salivates because it knows it's going to get the food. So you can sort of condition your body like that, Pavlovian style.
Right. So earlier on, you briefly mentioned like exercises you can do when it comes to body mapping.
Yep.
So what are some exercises? Like, how do you figure out, how do you map those zones on your body?
It's actually very simplistic. We make it sound so luxurious, but it's really very simplistic. So when we work with clients, what we give them is a figure of your body, front, back. Sometimes we go one step further, we do a side view, right? And we say, you take your time. You might have certain tools with you to help you map out areas that you do like. So you can use different touch tools. It can be simply your fingers, it can be a feather, it can be a sex toy, a tool, it can be a vibration. It can be something cold, it can be
ice
something
cube.
Warm.
Yes, I was just thinking
ice cubes. and you literally can use these tools and you can tell yourself, okay, today I'm just going to work from head to shoulders. And you just take your time and you map it out. You know, it's kind of impossible to do the entire body in one day and not let alone front and back.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's almost a self-exercise. You can choose to do this with somebody else. That's what we call partnered sensate focus, where you receive a touch on your body and then you're literally breaking it down into just elements of touch, sensation. So just texture, temperature, pressure. You don't give two hoots about whether you like it or not. You're just going, okay, what's the temperature of what I'm feeling? Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it rough? Is it smooth? You know, is it soft? Is it hard? So when you boil it down, just raw sensation, there is science to show that raw sensations can trigger an arousal alone without you judging the scenario you're under. So that's what body mapping is actually about, to go back to the primitive sensations.
So funnily enough, I literally saw a TikTok yesterday of someone doing like a sensory test on their forehead, and they were using a sharp tool and a feathered tool just to see if the person has lost sensation on certain areas of their face.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the same concept, like figuring out like, essentially, it's a sensory test.
Yep.
And to just figure out what you're sensing and do you eventually, if you like it or not.
Yeah.
But just to figure out, am I even feeling anything? Is this doing anything for me to begin with? So yeah, it sounds pretty straightforward. But I guess it is going to be quite a task if you want to figure out body mapping on your own. So what are some tips for body mapping alone? And a question that actually came in on Instagram is, how do you know what pleasures you? So what is like a very basic tip to give someone to figure out what works for yourself or not? Like, just like completely alone, just with yourself.
I think a lot of it is the privacy of time when it comes to working out what works for you. And often we stress that activity so much, particularly like when you have a toy and you're going, you know, I've purchased a tool and I'm trying to use it to figure out if it pleasures me or where it works for me. Am I more left side? Am I more right side? Am I more tap, tap, tap? Am I circular motions? So a lot of it comes with, you need to drive that process with a thought, with a fantasy, in order for it to trigger up emotions like I like or I don't like. To rely entirely on the mechanics, you're not going to end up with a judgment. So one of the tips is have a lot of that privacy. Ensure you're not someone who is worried about who's going to be behind the door. Is mum going to hear me? You know, do I have that luxury of time? Am I going to have uninterrupted time? And I commonly tell a lot of my clients are well into their 30s and their 40s, and they go on a lot of business trips. And I tell them, business trips, best time, because nobody disturbs you. You've got the entire hotel room to yourself. Bring along your tools, bring along some of your gadgets. And that's the time where you have a couple of nights to try this out. You go body part by body part. Don't stress yourself and don't focus entirely on the genitalia. Don't focus on the common zones. Defocus off the common zones. And you can sort of play around with yourself and say, okay, I'll start from toes and I'll work upwards, rather than start on vulva. Because sometimes what happens is that when you find certain zones that work for you, you're less motivated to go on and then find others, because you know, ah, that works, that's it, I found it. And that's the only spot you then focus on.
So I guess the main takeaway is always mix business with pleasure.
Yes.
But I think actually that is very good advice, because I mean, generally in Asian households in general, and like typically most of us growing up live with our families and stuff, it is a thought that crosses our mind. Like if you're just in your bedroom, you will never feel completely like comfortable to be like, okay, you know what, I have all the privacy in the world. I can actually do something like, I can actually touch myself without thinking about who's behind this door, who's at home, is someone going to suddenly show up? Is my dog suddenly going to walk into the room, you know? So all these things are very real like concerns. And I think whenever you have the time and the luxury of privacy, it is a very good tip to like actually think about, actually, you know what, let me use this time for actual, true, like, me time. So that is a very good takeaway and something that I think a lot of us in who live with our parents especially struggle with that a lot. But another thing that I want to get into is that we have talked about pleasure mapping alone, but typically when we talk about sex, it is typically a two-person sport, but sometimes can be more than that, sometimes just on your own. So what is, I would like to think communication is something that is very important when it comes to, when it's not just yourself, when other people are involved, right, in the bedroom. So what is some things that you, like, advise when it comes to communication with your partner? What are some things, how do you bring up this conversation about, like, hey, this is not working for me, or like, hey, I want to figure out what works for both of us? How do you bring that up
in a relationship? It's very challenging the moment you make something dyadic, because when you have another party involved, then you become so focused on what the other person's going to think about you, you know. If I were to make a comment or to instruct, you know, I like it a little bit more down, I like it a little bit harder, I like it a little bit faster, you feel very instructional. So one of the few tips that I give my clients who come in asking for, how do I communicate about sex? How do I really tell them I want this without insulting them? The problem is that we often think that we're insulting someone. We often think we're offending someone. But the truth is, we're not actually offending them by telling them the truth of what we want. But it's how we are communicating it. And a lot of us make the mistake of not speaking from an I perspective. So rather than going, you know, oh, you should know how to do this, so you should go faster. That's from a you perspective. But if you just flip that around and you go, you know, I do like it a little bit faster. I love it when you do it like this. It's all I. You're taking full-on responsibility of that emotion. You're speaking from a story perspective, from an emotion perspective, rather from a mechanics perspective. Go faster, go slower, go left, go right. You know, nobody wants to be told how to do these things. Nobody wants to be given an instruction manual. But people want to hear what you feel, because your partner is investing time, energy and effort trying to do something him or her or them thinks is working for you. And if you don't verbalize it, or you pretend and you go with a white lie, can you imagine the number of times you have to tell that white lie before you burst out and you go, you suck as a lover? And you know, that's kind of what we don't want to get to. Speaking from an I perspective is very honorable, because you take full-on responsibility of that speech or whatever statements you come up with.
Yeah, and ultimately your partner's trying to please you. So your thoughts and your feelings and your opinions matter in the moment. So I perspective, I think, can work out really well in the bedroom. But how do you overcome that anxiety? So what if you don't dare to even say that in the bedroom? Is this a conversation that needs to happen outside of the bedroom first?
Well, it doesn't have to happen midway through sex. I can imagine what sort of a bummer that would be. But it's something that we should be able to speak about regardless of time of day. You know, when you have your privacy together, it is often nice to say, you know, we don't often talk about this. It's been weighing on my heart. It's been weighing on my mind. You know, I feel like I want to speak about how we have sex or how we make love or what intimacy means for the both of us. Sometimes these conversations boil down to introducing sex toys in a partnered relationship. You know, it's a very hard one. And a lot of people struggle with that. They go, oh, what if they think that, you know, it's taking over them, it's doing their job. And I often tell people, look, sex is not charity work, you know. It's not I do you, then you do me, and we take turns. It's not quite like that. It's you taking responsibility for your own pleasure. So I think speaking about sex, what you like, or what you're trying to figure out whether you like. Sometimes we just don't know what the hell we like. We're just trying to figure out. We're trying to go through that process. And I think it's nice to take that conversation outside the immediate context of the bedroom and just speak about it so that it can flow naturally, even through your daily conversations, you know. And that helps.
Like, specific to hetero relationships, some men might feel like using a sex toy in the bedroom can be very emasculating. So how do we go about something like that? Like, how do you introduce a toy in that? I feel like it just all boils down to, hey, let's try something because nothing has been working. Nothing that you're doing is working. No, I'm kidding. But that's very difficult to communicate. So how do you like bring in a toy into the bedroom or in a relationship in general without making like your male partner maybe feel like emasculated?
I suppose one of the first few questions is asking them, you know, hey, what do you think about sex toys? And just to get a general idea of how they feel about them. And also, have you ever thought about using one yourself? And what are your thoughts if I used one? And what are your thoughts about me using one alone? But what if I brought it into the bedroom with the both of us? What do you think about that? And then it goes about not just trying to dig out what they feel, because often we find security, if I know what they feel, then I know what to do, right? I either back off completely and drop the idea of bringing the sex toy into the relationship, or I go, okay, I've got a clearing now, I can bring it in. But you're not seeking permission here. You're not trying to suss out exactly what the other person feels. What you're trying to do here is tell them how you feel about wanting this apparatus or this vibrating tool in the relationship. And many at times it could be because of your personal dissatisfaction of what's already going on. And how you can communicate it is, I often say, if you have nothing nice to say, then don't say anything at all. But if you have a yearning for a different experience, you could say something like, you know, I find that I have better feelings, so I enjoy it more when I have this specific sensation. And I know how hard it's going to be for your fingers or your tongue to do the same sort of thing. And I've tried this with this toy, and I would like to have that kind of an experience, that kind of an arousal when I'm with you, because I feel I get to enjoy you a lot better. And when I'm more aroused, I feel you would be more aroused too. But tell me if I'm wrong. You know, and then that way, again, it boils back down to the eye perspective when you're speaking.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to note that some things in the bedroom are just not humanly possible. Sometimes being able to admit that, hey, we just need the help of a toy, because exactly. I will break some of my limbs, you know, if I have to try to get you there.
I mean, in this day and age, we all work so damn hard, right? I mean, compared to eons ago, where sex was probably one of the only few means of entertainment. But we've got many, many, many distractors. We've got many other things to go to besides sex for our own distractions, for our own entertainment, for our own pleasure. So if you have tools that make it so much simpler and we engage in so much of tech around us, then why the hell not use the tools, you know, to access different parts of our body and to activate things a lot faster?
Yeah, I mean, life is difficult enough, so why not just use the help of technology? Makes sense. So, I mean, clearly we talked a bit about communication, and it sounds like to get completely intimate and comfortable, like intimacy and comfort are obviously like two really, really big things when we talk about pleasure mapping, figuring out what works for you and your partner as well. So what are some advice that you might have just trying to get truly comfortable with yourself? Like if we're talking about masturbation, you know, like how do you just get fully comfortable with your body and yourself to explore new things?
The thing I tell a lot of women who come through, and this is in heterosexual relationships, okay? The thing I tell a lot of women who come through the clinic is you've got to know your vulva better than your partner does, because you carry it with you 24/7, and there's no way your partner should be able to know that vulva better than you do. Yes, granted, it's sort of a hidden organ. It's a bit more difficult to discover, whereas the penis is in plain sight. But if it's on you, know it well, and that's the only way you're going to figure things out, if you know yourself best.
Yeah, and I think, okay, a question that actually came in on Instagram, this is a very vague question, but the person asked, how to use toys? So very, very vague. So I guess maybe we can like go a bit specific into it. So maybe, any piece of advice you might have for a beginner? Like what kind of toys should they be looking at if they just want to start with the basic one first?
So yeah, so I find it quite peculiar when I think we sort of spoke about this a little earlier before, when we group things into advanced toys and we group things into basic toys, beginner's toys, it always makes someone feel that, you know, they're inadequate. Like I've got to go for the basic one. What makes you think I don't need the advanced one? I could do the advanced one. The idea is to get something that is well within, number one, your budget. Number two, there's easy utility of it. Number three, take a look at your scenario. Do you want a toy that's going to buzz very loudly, or do you want something that is more discreet? And then when you're using it on yourself, the key thing is that a lot of people invest in a toy and they expect it to do magic for them. Like, you know, oh, I just place it here, but oh, the magic didn't happen. Like, you know, it didn't work the way people have advertised it to work. And we go, look, if you're playing with a toy, sex is one of those beautiful things that are influenced by so many other things around us. Number one, our biologies. The structures all have to be pretty much intact. Number two, did you have a shit day that morning already? You know, if you're already having a crap day, can you imagine your response to that toy might be a lot more damper. And, you know, your history, how you were brought up, all these things influence how you react in that day. Your current ongoing relationships can even affect your solo masturbation, your solo sex practice. And the current physical milestone you're in at the moment, you know, you're pregnant, not pregnant, breastfeeding, all these little things, menopausal, not menopausal, all these things influence you. So similarly, when you're using a toy, you've got to use it without just focusing on the mechanics. You use it and drive it through with a fantasy, with a thought, with an urge, with a desire, with some sort of story going on in the background to just drive through the mechanical motions of that toy so that it can create an orgasm for you. Because an orgasm is not a physical experience. Yes, there are physical movements in your body when that happens, but it's very much a up here cerebral experience.
And I think when we talk about like starting out, maybe using toys in the bedroom in general, it can be quite daunting because some toys are just shaped in a way that you just have never seen of before, you know? So maybe we can talk a bit more about like the toys that we have in front of us. Like, I think this one that's completely pointed and looks... Yeah, this is actually the Lelo dot.
This is actually what you call a beginner's toy.
Oh, okay.
So this is really good as a beginner's toy. Think about it. So this is beautiful for body mapping. Right? So when you're body mapping, you've got a thin point and this vibrates in like a number 8 shape. So when you've got this thin point that's vibrating, it allows you an ability to focus on where the sensation is, and then you can judge for yourself, hey, do I like the sensations around here or not? And then you're moving it, you know, centimeter by centimeter along wherever it is that you're touching. Imagine one of those big magic wand type things, you know, you just place it wherever you place it. It's just a full-on buzz.
Yeah.
So you don't get to map out your body properly. You don't get to focus, hyper-focus on where the pleasurable sensations are coming from. So Lelo Dot is an excellent toy to produce sensations in a specific, more pinpoint manner. It is not sharp. It kind of looks nasty, but it is not as beautifully soft, and it can be used anywhere in your body. That's the other thing with sex toys. You can use it anywhere in your body. You're not limited to the vulva or the genital area. I mean, by all means, put it behind your ears, you know, toss it anywhere you like it, and just feel free to explore. It's childlike play when you're using a toy. So treat it, oh my God, this is so bad if I say it like that. Treat it like a child would, but no, you know what I mean? But you know, just kind of.
I mean, don't accidentally eat it, yeah. But I guess just explore it like how a child would.
Childlike play.
Yeah.
This other one here is a G-spot stimulator in that sense. It's sort of curved, so in the vagina, the elusive G-spot area is in the upper wall of the vagina, so not so much kind of everywhere. It's just really in the upper wall. So a lot of us may be familiar with this come hither motion. So it's not just come hither slow. Some women would like it fast. It has to be at a specific speed. Some women like it slow. Some women like it in a circular motion. Some women like just a press up and that's it. So this sort of gives you that press up against the top wall of the vagina, and then it sort of vibrates in that area, stimulating the G-spot. And mind you, not everybody gets G-spot orgasms, and it's okay if you don't. Often it then needs to be coupled with a clitoris orgasm. But when you're having any sort of stimulation on the inside of the vagina, I absolutely despise it when people say, oh, I'm having a clitoral orgasm, or oh, I can only have vaginal orgasms. I think, look, these two structures don't just dissociate themselves. It's an entire complex, and we call it the clitoris, the urethra, which is the urine hole, and then the vaginal complex. That entire complex activates, but sometimes certain portions of it needs to activate more in order to produce an orgasm.
Sometimes you feel it in your chest.
Yes.
You know? You can just feel it anywhere in your body. So research has actually shown that the lack of orgasm affects more than 20% of women. So to unlock and perceive an orgasm, one must receive adequate sexual stimulation and arousal by allowing oneself to explore through masturbation. So I think ultimately the best way to know what you like or don't like in the bedroom and when someone else is involved, I really think it's all about understanding yourself and knowing yourself best and your body best. So yeah, I think that for me is definitely a very important takeaway. Thank you for sharing more about the toys, and hopefully whoever asked the question, how to use toys, hopefully that was helpful. Like maybe you get a quick, like, yeah, you know, a little like down, like, what's that word? sex toys 101. You know, that's what you got from this episode. So a very exciting thing is that Lilo's actually extending a 10% discount to everyone watching this episode. You know, you can actually use the code PrettyPlease for 10. Yeah, you just type in my name on a sex toy website. Use PrettyPlease for 10% off on pinklifestyle.com. So you can try out any of these toys that maybe you've been meaning to get one, maybe you've been always considering. So I guess you know which one is the beginner friendly one. So maybe don't pick something that might look very daunting to begin with. Try out something and just let your imagination just go wild and just figure out how you can best use this toy to get you where you want to be. Let's take on some questions from our live studio audience. The first question we got was, we talked a lot about pleasure mapping women, but how do we pleasure map men?
It's the exact same thing. You just, yeah. I often tell my clients, don't start at the genitals. Mm. You can choose, start right up on your eyebrows and come all the way down. It's exactly the same. It's regardless of gender. It's just a human body and you explore it at your own timing, in your privacy, and you take your time. You can do a scoring system, right? You can do like a 0 to 5, and 0 being the sensation does the touch does nothing for you, 5 being a sensation that does quite a lot for you, and you can scale it down into the negatives if you find that sensation was actually bad for you. It created pain, it elicited a bad memory perhaps, and then you can scale, you can score it in the negative. So you can choose to start anywhere on your body, and you want to systematically move. So just like with anything, you want a sense of organization. So you pick a start point and take it from there, and don't have the pressure to have to map out your whole body in a singular session. You can take your time with it. Men, women, transgender, it doesn't matter. It's the same. One human body, it's your body.
Our next question is, what are some typical male erogenous zones?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for male sex toys, you're talking about vibratory toys over the penises, you're talking about prostate massages, but what we don't see a lot of, and I think we were talking about this as well before, we're talking about scrotal touches. The scrotum skin is actually very, very sensitive. So a lot of touches on the scrotum can actually be appreciated more, but it's hard to develop a toy for scrotal touches. So this would fall very nicely with body mapping and using certain types of tool, whether it be a tongue. This is where, of course, when you're in a dyadic play with somebody else, but of a solo sex is going to be kind of hard. But using the Lilo dot and, you know, going around there. And then, beats me. It depends how much of a contortionist you are. So, and then, you know, vibrating tools around the scrotum, keeping that area more moist, wetting it, and then trying something there. Temperature play around the scrotum, in fact, can be very pleasurable for men. But yeah, I would say in the field of sex toys, women's toys have advanced far more than male toys. I feel sorry for penis owners. I wish there was more advancement with male sex toys. I mean, cock ring started off as just a ring, and it seems very
ED-friendly.
Yes, very ED-friendly, but I don't think that's what a lot of men are looking for when it comes to pleasure. That's just avoiding a disappointment with the lack of erections. But cock ring comes with vibrators, but the vibrators, in fact, are not designed for men. They're designed for women. They're designed for touch on the clitoris during vaginal penetration so that the clitoris gets contacted. So yes, it's a bit skewed in terms of design of sex toys. It's veered towards vagina owners versus penis owners.
But it is harder for women to achieve an orgasm.
That's it. That's where the market is. You've got to think business now.
Yeah, the demand.
The demand is women will buy women's toys. Men will buy women's toys too. But I don't think many women will buy men's toys. Not yet, at least. I suppose a lot of it is the idea that men are always ever ready and they do not require assistance. And needing assistance to gain arousal may at the moment still seem like a weakness, which is obviously, you know, false. But yeah, a lot more can be done in terms of the sex toy industry for male toys.
And our final question was, have you seen any instances where sex toys are used so often that someone just doesn't want to be around any other human being and they prefer their sex toy?
Well, if then it boils that back down to your personality, because being a human being is not just about mechanical vibration, is it? It's about emotional connection. You're not going to get that with a sex toy. And if you did, then you have an attraction towards an inanimate object.
This episode of My Strange Addiction. Suddenly.
So that in itself could potentially be a paraphilia, you know. That could be that. But you cannot, a sex toy cannot replace a human connection. It's different. You cannot, if you say, I'm using a sex toy so much that I don't need a human being, that means you're using a sex toy so much to receive the vibrations that work so nicely for you, a human being is unable to produce the same sort of vibrations. But then you're diminishing the human interaction down to vibrations and pleasure. What about the other things? What about the emotional connection? What about security? What about other sorts of intimacy? You know, it's not just that. It may replace the pleasure component from a vibration, yes. And a sex toy may work better. But it cannot replace a human. It cannot replace love. It cannot replace romance. It cannot replace emotional security. It can't do that. Men often feel emasculated by toys in heterosexual relationships. I'm not sure about homosexual relationships. I do not think there's a lot of studies addressing emasculation of toys in homosexual relationships.
But I guess it's very similar to things like, I mean, pornography, like things like advancements in that, like VR pornography and things like that. So it doesn't, at the end of the day, it does not replace a human being and the emotional connection you form with a person. So it is quite similar in that vein to like, people can get completely addicted to something like that and then they just lose that human emotional connection that should be around in an intimate setting.
Because that can then border on a preoccupation and then an obsession around the pleasure that is sought through an activity with a toy. And if it starts taking a lot more of your time, you're spending a hell of a lot of money on it, and it is taking up your time to do other things in your life, then that already is an unhealthy preoccupation with a toy, a tool, or other types of paraphilias.
So I think before we wrap up this episode, I actually have a segment, my favorite segment of every podcast episode. It's when this fake phone rings. So, kring, kring! Oh, sorry, let me get it. Sorry. Hello, it is time for your unsolicited advice of the week. Okay, so for me, I think my unsolicited advice of this week would be to go touch yourself. You know, think of this podcast episode and touch yourself tonight. Why not? So I think touching yourself and figuring out what you like and what you don't like, it's the best way for you to get that sexual confidence and figure out how to communicate with your partner, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And of course, I think something that Dr. Jess mentioned is speaking in first person and your point of view is using the word I to communicate what you like and what's working for you. I think that's very important. So that's my advice. How about you, Dr. Jess?
Wow, I like your phone. It feels so ridiculous.
No one's on the other line.
Hello. Oh no, it's really about keeping sex mostly, not completely self-focused. So you're not trying to be greedy here where it's all I want. Yes. It's mostly self-focused because if you're well within yourself, it's so much easier than to, in automation, enjoy somebody else. How do you enjoy somebody else if you're not enjoying yourself?
That is true. Oh, that's something RuPaul says, right?
Oh, is it? Yourself, I didn't take it from him.
No. He says if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love someone else, right? So yeah, same concept. Yeah, so Dr. Jess, RuPaul all got very iconic quotes. So thank you so much for sharing everything with us today. I think this was really helpful to, I guess, help all the listeners out there and everyone here as well also figure out how to build sexual confidence and communication with their partner and with themselves also, and just exploration and everything, all that fun stuff. So yes, I wasn't kidding. Please go touch yourself today. And thank you, Dr. Jess. Thank you, Lilo, for having us and for celebrating World Sexual Health Day. So go use the discount code I mentioned. It is up on screen right now. And happy shopping. I will catch you guys at the next episode of the Pretty Girls Club. Bye.